coming up in our first half hour, the head coach of the Falcons. After yesterday's four-point loss in New Orleans, we'll talk about that ball game, get you ready for Sunday at the Dome when the Arizona Cardinals come to visit off a bye. And then in our Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight, the veteran center Todd McClure will join us, and we'll catch up with Todd on all things not only with this football team, but also the dynamics of this season as it relates to this team. And he's one of the over 30 guys that, Coach, you've talked about during the course of the year. And I've often used the analogy, the complexity of this football team. You've got some young guys, the 22 to 27. You got those guys 27 to about 30 or so, 22, 25, 25, 30. And then you got the over 30 guys. And you got a nice mix on this football team. And after tough days like yesterday, the way this football team has been comprised is going to be important as you look to bounce back next Sunday.
Oh, no doubt about it. We're going to bounce back next Sunday. But guys like Todd McClure are going to be a big part of it, not only on the field but off the field. We finished watching the tape with the guys, and it's really the first time we've had to do that this year because we've had Victory Monday, so it's a new dynamic for us. But I thought we had very constructive film sessions and got a lot of things done. And Todd is a mentor to a lot of guys in our locker room, as well as some of the older guys. And when you don't get the outcome you want, you've got to learn from it. You can't let it linger. And I know that'll be the messaging for the week. And I know Todd will do a good job relaying that throughout not only the offensive line, but the rest of the locker room.
Smitty, you've done such a good job of keeping the message consistent. You win eight games. There's a consistent message. Hey, we won eight games. There's a whole bunch of stuff we need to fix as we move forward. How important was that as you got ready to come down to see the team this morning, that you wanted to keep that message the same? It's not any different this weekend than it was last week, I don't assume.
It's not. We just felt a lot worse. We felt we didn't feel good about the way we performed yesterday, but we still made some mistakes, lots of them, and we did some good things. And you've got to learn from them. And I think it'll be a good good learning experience for us this week. We haven't had a situation where we've had to do it in the first 8 weeks, so I think the guys will respond very well.
I think as you look at this game, I guess from a layman perspective on the outside looking in, and unfortunately you got to deal with a lot of those people when you talk publicly. But I guess when you first look at the defense to start off with in the game, you had the one play, the Ivory run. You lose leverage on the 20. Asante loses leverage on the ball to a certain extent, and then you get a few broken tackles or a few missed tackles on the play. And that's something that you saw happen to you a little bit in the Raider game, but you're able to fix in the second half. How do you keep yourself from being in that situation in the first half and play like you did in the second half against the Raiders and the second half against this game? Because you were very good in the second half in this game.
Well, we did not match the tempo that they presented in the first half of the football game. I thought we did a nice job defensively in the second half. And when you're not tackling well, they're going to lead to explosive plays. And I think they only had four explosive plays, but I think three of the four were for touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And that's not a good thing. We've got to make sure on those missed tackles, we've got to identify the reason that we missed the tackle. And each one was a little bit different. And we've done that. And the guys, they'll bounce back. We'll change up some things in terms of what we're doing in practice. We've got to, as coaches, you're always trying to fix something. It's a lot easier it's a lot more fun to fix it on a win. That's for sure. But you're always fixing. So your week doesn't change. You're always tweaking with something in terms of trying to get better in some area, and it's always going to be an area that you got to get better. And we didn't play our best game yesterday. They played better than us. Hats off to them. They made the plays. We didn't. We had our opportunities. We had our opportunities throughout the game, and I know the ones there at the end of the game are the ones that are most magnified and talked about, but there were a number of plays that happened in the ball game in the first and second half that could have been a big difference in the ball game.
It's interesting. We touch on things yesterday at the top of the broadcast. They end up being talking points throughout the broadcast. You always tell us and have consistently in your 5 years, that it's, you know, a handful of plays determines every ball game. Is it as simple as to say touchdowns rather than field goals in the red zone? Is it that simple sometimes?
It's not that simple because there's other factors, but that's a big, you know, that's a big factor in the ball game, and our red zone efficiency was not what we needed it to be. We knew that this was a team that was going to score touchdowns. They've got a prolific quarterback, and they really have started to run the ball right with a lot more efficiency over the last 2 weeks, and they did a good job. And, again, we didn't match it yesterday and in the first half. And it's not just that simple, but that's a big factor. The red zone scoring, and they were number one in the league and with over 74%, we did not do a good job keeping them out of the end zone yesterday.
Smitty, when you look at it, at the short yardage situation and ability to get the yard for either for a first down or for a touchdown, I was trying to jot down some of the variables that are attached to that. Okay, one, you got your opposition. Guy that's getting paid to play on the other side trying to blow up the play. I would assume technique is part of that, ball carrier part of that, call part of that. So there's so many variables within that, and is it, can it be narrowed down to just one of those to be able to fix something like that?
No, it can't. You have to take a universal view, and as a coach and as a head coach, that's what you have to do. The first thing everybody wants to do when you're not having success in a certain area is to point to the area that it seems like it's the most obvious. Sometimes it's not always the most obvious. When you're talking about running the football, you're talking about there's five offensive linemen that are blocking, there's tight ends that are blocking, there's wide receivers that potentially, if they are loading the box, have to be a part of it. And yesterday, in crucial times, we had too many breakdowns at the point of attack. And when you have those breakdowns at the point of attack, they're not going to be the efficient play that you want to have. And we had way too many breakdowns at the point of attack. And there's a lot of people at the point of attack. It's not just the offensive line. And you've got to look at play call. You've got to look at all of that to determine how are we going to get better at it. It's not, you know, it's not a simple answer. It's not just that simple.
When you talk about handfuls of plays, I go back here and I was looking at the play-by-play of the game and just a reflection of it. The third and short concept has got to be pretty important here to get fixed, though, correct?
It has to get fixed. We're one of the top teams in third down efficiency, but mm-hmm. we're not in third down and one. I think we're like 28th in the league in third down and one. And third down and ones are advantage to the offense, and we've got to do a better job of converting on third down and ones. We're doing actually a better job converting on 4-6 mm-hmm. percentage wise yeah. than we are on third and one. And that, you know, that should not happen. And we've got to, as coaches, we've got to do our job and try to put the guys in the most advantageous positions to go out and execute. And we have not done that on third down and one. And those are the crucial points. Those are crucial plays that keep drives alive. And we got into, you know, we were 50% yesterday in third down efficiency, but there were, I think, three third and ones that we didn't convert on.
Right.
You know, and then you've got the two fourth downs. And those fourth downs are crucial plays in a football game. If you're going for it on fourth down, you've got to convert those. And we didn't get that done.
When you look at, and let's, this is the last thing I wanted to ask you about from a fix standpoint, it's something that's very easy to fix, was the, you had talked about it in your press conference, the non-physical yep. penalties. And I know you, yeah. and the camera caught you. I know you were upset with Asante and what went on in that play. That makes a great defensive play, and then he gets flagged for the personal foul there. But you've been a team that has not been penalized very much, and you got penalized six times yesterday and hurt you a little bit.
Hurt us a whole lot. And we can't have those types of penalties. They're gonna cost you. And hey, we made a great play. That was an unbelievable play on the first play of the game. And what a way to start your game, to go down, drive the football down the field, take it down the field 80 yards, and then on the first offensive play, have the ball intercepted, and possession should start on the 12-yard line, and there was a 15-yard penalty. And The penalty was because of two guys, celebrating in a routine, and you can't do that. And those guys, those guys know that, and they're very apologetic. But we know that those things can't happen. They know it, and we've got to address it, and we did address it. We addressed it on the sideline, and, we understand, they understand, and we got to move forward off of that.
How dramatic was there, or was there a dramatic change in what New Orleans was trying to do defensively when Julio Jones went down with the injury?
No, there wasn't a dramatic change when Julio went down. The thing that, as we said, all through the week with Coach Spagnuolo, he's going to have a game plan for the week. There's not a lot of carryover from week to week in terms of what they're doing. He does a very good job game planning, and they hit us on some plays that you got to say, okay, that's one for them. That's going to happen. But I thought we did a nice job protecting the quarterback. He was sacked one time. We threw it 52 times. I thought we did a good job in terms of protecting the quarterback.
We got plenty more to go with Coach Mike Smith in our first half hour here. The Mike Smith Show presented by Superior Plumbing.
Takes the snap. Breeze to throw on first down. Oh, and it's intercepted. Picked up on the far side. Asante Samuel is pulled down at the 14-yard line. Breeze's first throw is picked off by Asante Samuel. It's his second interception. Marcus Colston tackled him at the 14.
Get coverage of every NFL team from your smartphone. To get NFL Mobile, call Star NFL to get it now. NFL Mobile, only from Verizon.
And Asante Samuel's interception, our SunTrust Bank defensive solid play of the game. SunTrust helps you stay in control of your money. SunTrust lives solid, bank solid, with Dave Archer at Flowery Branch and the head coach of the Falcons, Mike Smith, West Durham. Todd McClure at the bottom of the hour in our Buckhead Beef player spotlight. Smitty, wins and losses, you said victory Monday 8 times, and now here's the first time the guys have got to come in. And I know you take things from every game, win or lose, and move forward with it. Mentally, what's the challenge this week as opposed to the previous 8 with this team? Because, again, teams are different year to year.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be a big challenge this week. I know that there's a bunch of guys that are ticked off about the way that the way that the game went, and I think that they'll be on point and refocus. Sometimes you have to recalibrate, and they'll recalibrate, and I think we'll come out here and see a very good week of practice and a good focus leading up to the game against Arizona.
Smitty, special moment for Tony Gonzalez as he continues to climb the charts at his 100 and 101st touchdown receptions. And I know it gets kind of lost in what happens, obviously, with the team, and I know he feels that way as well. 11 receptions, 122 yards, 2 touchdowns. But 100 touchdowns in this game, you've been around this game a long time. Can you give us some perspective on that?
There's not many guys that are in that club. It's a short, it's a small club, and I'm happy for Tony personally that he was able to get 100 and 101. I would have really liked for him to get 102 as at the end. But it just speaks volumes of the ability for Tony to continue to make plays, and people make a conscious effort to try to stop him, game plan it, and he continues to – he continues to make those plays. I know he was targeted 15 times and had 11 receptions in the ball game yesterday for 122 yards.
That's as dominant as you could be. Of course, their guy was pretty good as well. Jimmy Graham was very good. You had talked about how he was going to be a difficult guy to handle. I think a question that I'm getting a lot obviously you'd like to have Sean on the field, Witherspoon on the field, wasn't able to go. Whenever your starters is out. How much different could it have been if Sean is in the game? Does Sean draw that assignment guarding Jimmy Graham from time to time?
Oh, there would have been no doubt that Sean Witherspoon would have had the opportunity to guard Jimmy. Jimmy's a very athletic guy, and we tried to move different guys on him, and we weren't nearly as effective as we needed to be. I think he had only one missed target, so he and Drew really hooked up and had a real good ball game. And we did a better job, I thought, in the second half. We had to change some of the things that we were trying to do, make some adjustments. But he's a very good tight end, and he creates some matchup issues. And Sean is by far our most athletic linebacker And of course, he would have, he would have drawn a number of snaps where he would have been matching up with Jimmy.
Coach, you said in your meeting here with the media about a half hour before we started the program, you're optimistic Sean can get back this week, right?
I am optimistic. I'll be a whole lot more optimistic after he does some field work tomorrow. I know that he ramped up his rehab over the weekend. We did some things today, this morning with him, and he'll actually get out there. Even though the rest of the squad is off, he'll be out there working with our athletic performance guys, and we'll have an opportunity to make an evaluation tomorrow. And then once we make that evaluation, then we got to see the residual effects that take place on Wednesday. But he's done a really good job as a patient in the training room. He and Kevin Cohn, they're spending half the day, 12 plus hours a day in the training room, working and doing the different things on the different modalities. And hopefully we'll get both of those guys back. We've missed them.
Yeah, and that's another guy that rarely gets mentioned, Kevin Cohn, who's been a big part of your core special teams. Great speed, great size, fight through blocks, be able to do some of the things you'd like to do both in return and coverage units. Smitty, you get Arizona comes to town this weekend. It's a team that got off to a great start, 4-0, playing really good defensively, a little bit more close to the vest maybe offensively, but they've got one of the great wide receivers that's probably ever lined up in the game.
Boy, is he impressive! Larry Fitzgerald does some amazing things. He's a great athlete, and the thing they're doing a little bit different this year is they're moving him around more, trying to hide him and putting him in different spots. And they got off to a fast start. I think ran out
4-0, correct?
One of the fastest starting teams, and I know that they've hit on some hard times here of late, but they have a very talented group of guys, especially on defense. Coach Horton, Ray Horton's doing a very good job with the defense. He's out of that lineage of Dick LeBeau, the pressure package, and they've got some guys up front, and they're going to come out of the locker room applying pressure on your offense.
Interesting team when you start looking at kind of how they're built offensively. Obviously, they've had some injury situations. Ryan Williams has been, boy, bless his heart, just kind of snake bit. He had, the patella tendon injury preseason a year ago, Dave? Is that right?
Yeah.
And then goes down again this year after having a pretty decent start. He had 164 yards in his first 50-odd carries. Rod Stevens Howling is an interesting player because of his size. And yet he fits perfectly what they're trying to do because of the guys you talk about, Fitzgerald, Todd Heap, the tight end situation they've got with Jeff King, the former Panther. I mean, Stevens Howling is a nice player because he also does some things in terms of the receiving game for them.
Oh, he does. In fact, when the season started, he was their change of pace back.
Yeah.
And now he's had to take the full-time back position. As the running back, and he has got great speed. We've faced him a couple years ago, and he can run. And we're going to have to do a good job making sure that we secure the edges because you don't want to get him around your defense, because if he gets around your defense, he can go to the house.
Now, defensively, they got some hombres there, Smitty, up front.
Yes, they do.
I mean, Dockett, Calais Campbell, and Dan Williams. Now, you're not going to miss these cats getting off the bus, are you?
They're about as big as any group that we've faced, and it's another 3-4 defense, as I mentioned, with the Dick LeBeau relationship. Ray Horton was a longtime assistant there at Pittsburgh. Coach Coach Wisenhunt, Ken has his background there at Pittsburgh as well on the offensive side of the ball. But they have been one of the most outstanding defenses thus far through the first 10 games of the season, and it'll be a good challenge, and it'll be fun to watch our guys go out and compete against them because they can play some deep.
Smitty, when you look at their secondary, I guess a lot of the attention goes to their outstanding corner, Patrick Peterson. From what you've seen from a film standpoint, are they a matchup type team? We've seen a few of those teams this year. I guess Dominic Rogers Cromartie and Asante Samuel,
Asamoah
right. tried to match up. Here's Peterson. Does he draw an assignment as the one guy in this game?
He very well could.
Again, I don't know who he's going to get.
Yeah, which I don't know which one he's going to choose. But their secondary is stout. You know, William Gay's familiar with. You know, played in Pittsburgh, and this in the safety Wilson. He is a hitter. Aaron Wilson. He will bring the heat when he blitzes. I think he's very effective blitzer. Had an opportunity to work a couple years ago and spend some time with him there. And when we were coaching the Pro Bowl, I was very impressed with his athleticism.
Well, and you're in a very early stage as we start talking about preparation as you get ready for Arizona coming in, trying to flush this one out of your system from New Orleans. Arizona in. I know you'll spend a ton of time tonight as a staff, tomorrow getting ready for this game. But just real quickly, Patrick Peterson, not only is he a corner, but one of the great returners, certainly one of the great back-breaking returners.
Yeah.
That'll be something you'll have to – obviously Keith will have to dial into as well.
Oh, no doubt about it. He's – you know, last year he kind of burst on the scene with his returns for touchdowns. We're going to have to do a very good job in our punt protection and coverage units. We're going to have to protect. They've got some guys that can pressure you as well. And when we're punting the football, we're going to have to do a good job of not giving him the ball in the middle of the field. We're going to have to cut and try to cut that field down and not give him an opportunity to have two-way goes. But he can go, and he'll take it from inside the five, as we saw last year. A couple times he had 90-plus yard returns.
Let me ask you real quick going to break. We're not seeing a lot here in the last, and obviously varies team to team. Yesterday's an example of what I think is becoming the norm. There's just not many kick returns in the NFL anymore, are there?
They're not. The kickers are doing such a good job of kicking the ball. Now we're seeing guys that are not just kicking it 7-8 deep. They're kicking it out of the end zone where there's no chance of a return. And there are a few teams that, hey, will take it. I know Baltimore, I guess they had a big return, from what I understand, from 108 or 109. I know the guy up at Green Bay's gone 108, 109. I think if you've got a dynamic, quote, dynamic returner, they're going to take it as long as it's in the field of play. But there's only a handful of those. For the majority, if the guys are kicking it, and I think it'll change as we get into November and December and some of these cold weather games where the guys are not going to be able to pound it out, you know, out of the end zone.
Is it frustrating to sit and watch it?
Well, it is frustrating in one sense when you're trying to return it, but it's not too bad when you're kicking when you're kicking off. And right now, Matt Bosher's doing a real nice job for us. He had four touchbacks, and I'll take first and 10 on the 20 as a defensive coach all the time off of a kickoff.
All right, Smitty, thanks. Appreciate the time as always. Good luck in your preparation this week.
All right, thank you, guys. We're going to bounce back.
Right in the gun, takes the snap. Matt going to look, throw, and it is caught. Falling into the end zone, touchdown. And that's 100 for Tony Gonzalez. Tony Gonzalez's 100th career touchdown, and Malcolm Jenkins was draped all over him.
Welcome back to the Mike Smith Show, presented by Superior Plumbing, live from Flowery Branch with Dave Archer, West Durham. Time for the Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight. Arch, I can hardly wait till we go to the Chateau McClure and enjoy the Buckhead Beef gift certificate we're going to give to Todd McClure today so he can have the freshest, finest, most tender steaks, chops, jambalaya, crawfish, and more, although it doesn't say that on here.
Oh, yeah, you can.
From Atlanta's own Buckhead Beef, it's the best there is, and you definitely deserve it.
We do have a fledgling chef with us here. He's become a top-rated chef now.
Be honest, I've already started to set the table here that when the season's over now, Archer and Durham now. We're going
Come on, here we go. And hopefully we'll have good reasons to party there once the season's over with.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. For an old guy, I'm doing good.
I wasn't going to bring age up early. I was going to let us go on for a while.
I'm having fun, you know. It's tough after this one.
It's
one of the toughest games when it's close and it's in your sights and you have the opportunities. And number one, I got to go home and hear that off season.
Right.
You know, so this is one of the toughest losses that I have to deal with.
For those of you who don't know, Todd McClure, former LSU Tiger, and does have a ton of family back in the Louisiana area, so they, I'm sure they're hoodatting all over the place back there if they're not a Falcon fan. Todd, when you look at how, first of all, from a leadership standpoint, is there anything you needed to do this morning or had to do on the plane last night? It's been a pretty good run, 8. Now, you guys have scrapped through some, but 8-0. Now you get hit on the chin and you absorb one that's in the wrong column. So what did you do from a leadership standpoint, maybe on the plane last night or maybe this morning?
Just try to keep the guys together, and everybody knows that. You know, it's no time, and we got a great group of guys, no time for finger-pointing right now. We know offensively, special teams, defense, we all got areas that we can improve on that would have helped us win that game. And I think we got a good group that's going to stay together. It's one loss. I know there's a lot of probably 31 other teams in the league that love to swap positions with us right now.
Absolutely. I guess the 1,000-pound elephant or 2,000-pound elephant in the room is the short yardage situation. And I know you've probably been pounded with that already. What is it that you need to do to try to get that fixed to where you guys can get and pound through and get a yard?
You know, I think it's a combination of things, and it's one thing that frustrates me the most is when people see that, they put all the responsibility on the offensive line and the guys up front, and that's the hardest thing for me to stomach because we got it last year, and that's all you heard this off season. We're not big enough. We're weak up front O-line, and that's hard for me to take, knowing what all we put into it and the effort that we put into it, and we just come up short. But it's not just us up front. Do we need to do a better job? Yes, but there's a lot that goes into it, and can't really go into detail with it. I'd love to, but it frustrates me more than anything.
You guys, and you just mentioned the locker room, and I tell people all the time, Dave's heard me say this, and I say it to people nationally or when we're playing in other cities and we appear on other shows. I think timing has a lot to do with this football team.
Mm-hmm.
The five-year maturation process of Matt at quarterback, of Smitty as the head coach, Thomas running the front office, the mix of guys on the team, mm-hmm. young guys, middle-of-the-road guys, crusted trusteds, guys of your ilk. In times like these, how valuable, how important is that locker room intangible this week, Wednesday, Sunday when Arizona's here?
It's really important, and Smitty said it in our meeting we had earlier today. We've always responded well after a loss, after a tough loss, and we got a great group of guys that, you know, we're going to build off of this. We're not going to let this separate us. Mm-hmm. We're going to build off of it, let it make us stronger, and when we come out on the field Sunday, we're going to be ready to roll.
Let me ask you this, Todd. You were in the league when there was a lot of contact in practice, a lot of contact mm-hmm. in training camp to set that kind of set that tone. How much has that been affected? And obviously it's to the good for you guys because you're not banging heads
right.
every day in practice during the regular season to keep yourself ready. But how much of that is impact? Because we're not seeing dramatic rushing numbers around the league. You have a guy break out from time to time. AP had a big day yesterday. But you don't see the monster numbers run the football. Is it affected by the fact you guys aren't able to do some of those things?
You know, I guess it could be. But the number one thing that jumps out to me, it's become more of a passing league. You know, I mean, we threw the ball.
Yeah.
I know we would like to run the ball more, but we threw it, 52 times
yeah.
yesterday. It's just become more of a passing league. I think some of the things they're doing defensively, restricting the way they can hit the receivers, and I think it's just the way the league has evolved now.
It's an interesting dynamic. In your 14 seasons, I figured up yesterday, was start number 190 in mm-hmm. your career. Have you thought about the dynamic of the game in your time here? I mean, because – as Dave says, it's really evolved. It was very simple, not to say that he's old,
right?
But it was closer to what he played than what it is today,
right?
When you first got in this league,
yeah, it definitely has.
Even off-season stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's changed, and like you said, better for the older guys. Some of the younger guys can't; they don't know what happened. Even you know, back when you played,
right,
back with
sure.
the leather helmets, you
yeah,
know,
it, absolutely.
You know, it's changed, and y'all went through a lot. And, you know, early in my career, it was tough, and the young guys don't – I don't know if they don't – not to say they don't respect it, but they
sure.
don't have an understanding of what it used to be like. And, you know, kudos to the union guys. I think now have longer careers
mm-hmm.
Because of what has changed, and, you know, I'm all for it.
I know.
Yeah, in fact, hydration at halftime was a six-pack and a couple cigarettes is what you went with back in my day. That's the way it kind of broke down. So
I know you wanted to play this year, Todd.
Uh-huh.
What went into playing this year? Was it different this offseason than previous offseasons for you, or was this a simple decision? I want to come back. I feel like I can still be a worthy player, worthy member of a team.
Right.
I'd like to play here. Because you did sign the contract, and that there was some negotiation and positioning
right.
for you. What went into your off season? Because I know you didn't like the way last season ended. I saw you after the game in New
right.
York that day. I mean, all those kinds of things. Did it ever cross a, I'm not going to finish like this, I got to have one more?
Yeah, it did. You know, I knew once the season was over with, I still wanted to play.
Mm-hmm.
I still have a passion for this game, and, you know, I don't know if this is the last year for me.
Yeah.
I'm having fun, love the guys in the locker room, and there's just something about, you know, being on the field on Sundays and hearing that crowd, you know, something about winning. It's going to be tough for me to walk away. If I can still do it physically,
sure.
It's not about the – not at this point in my career, it's not about the money to me. It's I love doing this. I've been doing this my whole life, and if I can still do it physically, I'm gonna keep doing it because I have fun and I enjoy it.
You mentioned the locker room. I mean, that's got to be a big part of this because – and I tell – Dave and I say this all the time, it's good guys.
Great guys. And you hear – people say it all the time that have retired, what they miss most about football is the locker room. You know, you can't go in corporate America and sit in your jock strap on a stool and sit there and
well, you
tell
can,
a story.
But they,
right?
You know,
they kind of frown on it, actually, you know.
We've had a couple guys try to do that around our place.
But it's some of the best times and the memories of the stories and the how big the stories grow from what actually happened, you know. Mm-hmm. And people, it's just – we talk about it all the time, you know, certain things that happen, how big and how outrageous it'll be 20 years from now, you know, how you add little pieces
to
the story, and it's just
believe unbelievable.
Me,
I can tell you. I can tell you.
It's like about how good you were and all that.
Yeah. It's the old Bill Murray line. It's not the uniform. It's the stories that you tell. You, Lee Harvey. No, yeah, there's no question about that. That's a big part of what this is, and you don't want to lose that and leave that, the locker room stuff. When you look up and you see your quarterback thrown it 52 times, he got put on the ground one time.
Right.
I mean, I know you didn't like the way you ran it, but there's got to be a tremendous amount of pride about that. And even as poorly as you guys weren't able to run it, you're standing there at the 1 yard line with a chance to win the football game, and your quarterback's only been on the ground once. There's a lot of pride involved in that, isn't there?
There is, you know. And this group, since I've been here 14 years, we've taken a lot of heat. You know, 1 week you're the best offensive line ever played. The next week you guys shouldn't even be on a high school football field. You know. And that's part of the business. But we've got the guys that can throw it and pitch and catch. Matt's unbelievable. Tough. He's been playing really well, and we know if we give him time that we're going to be able to make plays. And we had opportunities there late in the game too. You know, but we just didn't play our best football yesterday, and they came out on top one or two plays here or there. And we're sitting here having a different conversation today.
Todd, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about all the chef stuff in the next segment because it's fun to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
There is apparently this underground campaign that Claybo has started for the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Archer and I, we saw the hats last week, right?
Saw the photos, yeah.
The photos and the hats and so forth. Is this some sort of driven from the meeting room? Claybo's out in front. Is he your campaign manager? Or is this
That guy comes up with his own stuff. I have nothing to do with it.
Is this in response to the cardboard ATM that was set up out in the hallway last year?
It could be. It could be. I get
not that you had anything to do with that, right?
I get uneasy talking about it. I don't like it, but, you know, he's hard-headed, and you can't change what he does.
So we'll talk about that more when we continue more with Todd McClure here at the Falcons Complex. Todd McClure with us in the Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight here at Flowery Branch. Falcons and Cardinals of Arizona coming up on Sunday at 1 o'clock at the Dome. 3-4-4-3, we've seen it all.
Mm-hmm.
Does it matter?
You know, it doesn't. Once we get the reps and we see what they're going to run, get it identified, and we get the line of scrimmage, you know, as long as we're all on the same page, we're good. But they present some problems. They're a good defense, and
they're big boys.
Just like any other week, it's a great challenge.
But they're a little bigger than your normal defense now. I mean, this Calais Campbell's
he's
a 6'8".
Yeah.
200.
He's got four of his own moons rotating around him. Pretty good-sized guy.
Yeah, he's a big guy, and he's playing well right now. I hadn't watched him on film up here, but I've seen some games they played on the national stage, and they're playing well.
Yeah.
It's been a weird season, Todd. For things that don't really matter about anything. You guys have – I don't think I've ever seen a schedule where you're home, away, all the way through.
I haven't either.
Okay, you played this, what, 13 seasons? 14 seasons?
This is 14, yeah.
Okay, there's 14. I never saw it when I played. I played 13 years. I never saw it. And now you've got a deal where before the bye, all the 3-4 teams were on the road, and the 4-3 teams are at home. After the bye, all the 3-4 teams are at home, and the 4-3 teams
are
on the
road.
I've never seen like stupid.
I
doesn't mean anything.
Yeah,
you got another 3-4 team coming. You talk about the size. when you get a team that's big, and you've played, you guys have played other big football teams, what do you, is there techniques and things that you use against guys that are bigger body guys that you can use maybe their size against them a little bit?
Yeah, you know, especially for me, I'm not, you know, one of the bigger guys up front in the league, and I got to be able to use my leverage and my hands. And also, you can't get your head involved, because if you get too much weight forward and they slap your hands, you know, you're going to fall on your face. So there's a lot that goes into it, but I have some natural leverage, so it seems to help out sometimes.
Do big guys have a tendency to play higher? I mean, Calais Campbell, not only is he wide, but he's a big, tall guy,
6'8",
too.
6'8", yeah.
I mean, does that put him in harm's way a little bit because of how high he plays potentially?
Yeah, I think it does. You know, like I said, you're able to get leverage, but, yeah. You know, you watch this guy on tape. I just saw a couple plays in one game. I forget what game it was. And he's coming off the ball with good pad level, and I think it was a play that I remember. It was a toss sweep to the left, and he got penetration and then peeled off and ran down the line of scrimmage. Not only is he big, but he can move
wow.
also.
Wow, okay. Good know. Player. Good. So, and they played well defensively. And I know you haven't watched a lot of film yet, but they've played as a good group and got off the 4-0 start.
Right, and you got Dockett, who's there, and he's been a good player for them for a long time. But other than that, you know, I know they got Peterson – one of my former, you know, LSU
That's right.
guys.
That's right. Yep.
Other than that, I don't really know a whole lot about them, but I will.
Early do sets on that team too, right?
Yep. 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 Another LSU Tiger.
You guys are everywhere, good, McClure.
They got a pretty good receiver over there too. If
yeah,
I can
yeah, the guy with the dreads yeah. and wears 11, I think,
yeah.
right? you gotten on Twitter? Some of you linemen have gotten on Twitter. Claybo's on Twitter. You gotten into this cooking thing, and you tweet pictures of the food.
Mm-hmm.
This food thing is pretty big now, right?
It's big, you know.
You enjoy it?
I do. I've been cooking for a long time.
Have you? Know? Okay.
Yeah. And I guess with Twitter coming along, I'm finally able to put some pictures up. But, you know, something I enjoy doing. I enjoy a good meal. So, you know, being able to cook it, my kids love when I cook for them. It's pretty special for me.
Does this spin off into something maybe when you get through playing? You got you a place where you can come eat a little.
I've always said I'd like to open up a restaurant, but you know, I don't know. We'll see what happens. The more I looked into it, the more I've heard. You know, the amount of time that you spend up there is just unbelievable. So, I don't.
Everybody
know.
Wants to eat free.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, there is no 16-game schedule or 19-game schedule in a restaurant ownership.
Yeah.
You got to go
yeah.
every day,
24/7.
Yeah.
We talk about this locker room, and you're one of the sage guys here. In respect of certain guys, are you in just awe of Tony Gonzalez and what this is? I mean, because doing the games, it's just like sitting on the front porch or watching history sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yesterday's 100 touchdown catches. It's him and Jerry Rice. That's kind of it.
Right.
I mean, it's
yeah.
phenomenal, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. But, you know, I think being in the locker room and being around him all the time, you don't get to appreciate it as much. You know, I know when he was at Kansas City, used to watch and just know how special he was. But now we're kind of mm-hmm. involved. He's one of the guys, and I really don't have time to look back and see what he's doing. But I know down the road, you know, it'll be pretty special to say that, you know, you put your hand in the dirt with that guy. And I'm hoping to get a jersey that I can hang up in my house one day.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of the best to ever play this game, and that's unbelievable. That's saying a lot.
Yeah.
You got a guy that stands behind you. It's weaving a little bit of magic this year as well, and you've seen his development since he got here, came in and really kind of defied his years with mm-hmm. being a young guy. But where is Matt now here in the middle of his fifth season in the development you've seen him coming forward?
It's just unbelievable. I think early in Matt's career, you know, we tried to – protect him a little bit. He's a young guy, didn't quite have the experience. We ran the ball a lot, threw some safe passes, safe routes. But now he understands where everybody on that football field is supposed to be. He understands what the defenses are presenting to him and what routes are going to be open. And he's just playing with an unbelievable amount of confidence right now. And like I said earlier, if we can give him the time, he's going to make plays for us. For when we have 7 games left, he's going to keep making plays.
I know there's been a chip on your shoulder for the last couple seasons, and you talked about why. Some of the criticisms, some of the things have gone on with the offensive line. Got a new guy stand to your right that's mm-hmm. played the last couple of games, guy they went out and drafted from Wisconsin, Peter Kahns. How has his development come along? You've seen a lot of guys on either side of you for a number of years. How do you like the way he's coming along?
He's coming along really well, you know, and you're going to have – he's still young. The more experience he gets, the better he'll be, but he's learning every game. And to come in and play at the level that he has as a rookie says a lot about Peter Kahns. He's one of the guys that he may spend more time than anybody up here watching film. And it's unbelievable. You know, you come in to watch film, he's sitting in there. He wants to learn. He's trying to soak it up. And you never – we were just talking about it earlier in the cold tub. He wasn't with us, but me and Claybo and Blaylock and Sam, he just – he never gets too happy, never gets down. He just got that, you know, dumb look sometimes on his face where, you know.
He's a rookie.
He never gets fazed. And I think that says a lot about, you know, how he's going to be down the road through tough times. And, you know, even when things are going good, he's going to be level-headed.
Todd, our U.S. Auto Sales text question comes from the 678, and it's more of a comparative statement, and I'll get your thoughts on this. It's about offensive lines and the development of lines from years to year. They cited 2010 as one line, now to 2012. Maybe let's go from 04 when Arch and I started doing the games on a full-time basis. Mm-hmm. The way the lines evolve through the years, obviously personnel changes. In 10, Harvey was here. Now he's on at St. Louis. Outside of that, what do you see as the development of the offensive line as a whole?
You know, I feel really good lately how we've been protecting a passer. And one guy that I've been really excited for and happy for is Sam Baker, because he's taken some heat over the years. Not a lot of people know the injuries that he's played through, what he was pushing through, and to be able to go out and have success, to be healthy. I'm really happy for Sam.
Yeah.
You know, he's playing good football right now, and can't say it enough. We've got a close group. Justin Blaylock's just solid as they come. He's going to be there where he's supposed to be all the time, and big angry Claybo, he's going to, you know, give you what he gets, and he's going to speak his mind at times, you know. So it's a great group of guys, and I think, you know, there's areas we can improve in, but if we can keep number two clean, we're going to have a good rest of the season.
Arch and I are fascinated with Lamar Holmes and Philip Keith Manley. Mm-hmm. Just in size alone, what have you seen out of two very young guys who've really yet to play a snap in this league?
Those are – that's two guys that, like you said, they're massive. They're big guys. I think they've got a ways to go as far as the mental aspect of the game and the experience. PK coming from a, you know, small school in Toledo, he's got some steps to make. But we saw early on with him that, and me and Claybo talked about it, I hope they see upstairs what this guy's got, you know, because he's got the potential to play in the NFL. And we've told him that, you know, early in training camp. We said, man, if you can get your hands right and your feet, you can play in this league for a long time. And I think he recognizes that, and he works hard. And if he keeps progressing, I think he'll play for a while.
There you go. Philip Keith Manley, a guy that was just elevated because of the injury to Garrett Reynolds. He now on the 53 was inactive this weekend, but I've referred to him as two axe handles. That's about how wide his ass is.
He's a big guy. He's definitely big.